Do you have any enemies? Is there anyone who you struggle to get along with or who you butt heads with? A couple of days ago, Jenny shared with me a quote by G.K. Chesterton. The Bible tells us to love our neighbors and also to love our enemies, probably because they are generally the same people. I'm not sure what she was trying to communicate to me there, but I was thinking about an enemy that I have, and somebody who I really struggle with. We've been talking about that. Bob started it out this morning. But there was someone who attended Meridian a couple of years ago who was really critical and who grumbled about a lot of stuff, and it just seemed like we were always at odds. It is a person I struggled to get along with, and probably as you're wondering maybe who it might be, you probably have struggled with this same person. And I think it's inappropriate to call people out from the platform, but I'll describe this person because we may have a common enemy. This person is, well, let's be generous. This person is average height, about 5'7". This person's weight is, well, it's really none of your business. This person's got a beard and a full head of dark hair. Well, maybe kind of a full head of dark hair. And this person is the pastor at Meridian Church of God. So, in case you can't figure that out, the battle that I have is with myself. There's sometimes a war within. Do you ever have that battle inside and the war within? Are you ever stuck with these competing desires and you're wondering, maybe you're just torn apart by doubt. You got one side, you think this, and one side you think that, and you're just, sometimes you struggle with yourself and you're not sure. There's maybe some doubts. So today we're going to be looking at the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to continue and thinking about this kind of war within that many of us have. So right now we're going to read Matthew 6, 19 through 24. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, we talk about the gospel, and gospel means good news. So I'm going to start off by sharing good news this morning. Original rough drafts that I had of this sermon were way longer. And I've got it down to pretty short. So at least here's some good news, okay? This isn't as long as I thought, because there's so many angles we could go with this really loaded paragraph. So many things that we could talk about. And I tried to explain everything about everything and make this whole thing come alive and the meaning of all these verses. And I had that familiar voice stuck in my head that says, well, this is going to be a good sermon series. Too much. You're trying to say too much. So this is admittedly not exhaustive at all. There's a lot of different aspects we could focus on in this passage. But we're just going to take one particular angle. It may be a different one that you would like to take. But if you want to take a different one, come on Wednesday nights. We've got a couple people that are leading discussions about this. If you want to talk about something else, that's a great forum to do that in. Wednesday nights at 7, we have these discussions on this. But today, we're going from the angle of what a common thread that Jesus talks about here. He talks about laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven or treasures on earth. So that treasuring, that valuing is about what we desire. What is it that we want? He talks about the eye. And the eye can look at light or the eye can look at darkness. What we're focused on. Again, that's desire. What is it that we want? What is it that we're seeking? What is it that we're looking for? And then lastly, talked about serving masters. What are we mastered by? What is it that we serve? What is it that we desire in life? So we're going with the angle of what is it that we desire? And as Jesus pointed out here, there are a couple of desires maybe that are at war within. Maybe the desire to lay up treasure right now, or the desire to lay up something that will last. Or maybe it's, what are we going to look at? Are we going to look at what is light or dark? And even, what is it that we're going to serve? We can be torn with these desires. Jesus' brother James had something really interesting. I love how he says this. He says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Is it not this, that your passions, your desires, what you want, are at war within you? You desire, do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. Now, this is just such great insight into what causes a lot of the disagreements and battles that we have, especially if it's somebody else, right? Usually in marriage, in family, church, neighborhood, work, whatever it is, the battles that we get into, I want something and somebody else wants something else. And so we battle. Which one is right? Which one's going to get their way? So I think that this is definitely intended to say that, but I think this works really well for ourselves too. We have these desires on the inside, and sometimes our desires are in conflict with each other. We want something and we want something else. And there's a lot of illustrations that we could use, but we're going to start with food because food's an easy one, right? So maybe we desire. I desire to be healthy. I want to eat healthy, but I also desire to eat pizza and cheeseburgers and ice cream. And we have these desires. Which one do we want more? So maybe as we're conflicted and we can't decide, what is it that I want to eat? What restaurant do I want to go to? What meal is it? Maybe the question is, what do I want more? Do I want something that tastes really good right now, or do I want something that's going to be good for me? Do I want something right now that's cheap? Or do I want to pay a little more and get something that's a little better? Do I want something that's going to give me a boost right now, or something that's going to sustain my energy a little bit later? We're torn with these desires. Again, food is just one area, just a good illustration of where our desires are torn. But this is a lot of the areas of life that we deal with. What is it that we want? And sometimes we don't know. What is it that we want more? It can cause fights and quarrels. It can cause a war on the inside. James K.A. Smith wrote a book called You Are What You Love, another one called Desiring the Kingdom. And he's got a couple quotes about what it means to be a disciple, to follow Jesus, that I think are helpful here. Discipleship is a way to curate your heart, to be attentive, to be looking, to use your eyes to look, and intentional about what you love. Discipleship is more about hungering than knowing and believing. Jesus' command to follow him is a call to align our loves and our longings with his, to want what God wants, to desire God's desires, a vision encapsulated by the kingdom of God. Our desires. What is it that we want? So we're thinking about that. Let's ask that question. Where is it that our desires come from? Why do we want what we want? One word that we could use here to describe it is heart. Now, and when we use the word heart, we know we're not talking about the amazing organ that we have that beats 100,000 times a day, and it pumps 2,000 gallons of blood over 60,000 miles of arteries. Isn't that amazing? So we're not talking about that amazing organ. We're talking about who we are that pumps all of life through us, our desires, the essence of our being. And we're going to look at something that Jesus said about our spiritual heart, the person, the people we are. Jesus said, the good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So this leaves us a couple questions we could ask. Maybe what's the difference between a good heart, right? Or that good person that brings good out of his good heart, and an evil person who brings out of his evil treasure evil? Or maybe even, how is it that we have a good heart? What can happen? What can we do to put ourselves in a position where we have the kind of heart that's producing what is good, that flowing out of it flows goodness? Jesus said famously, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So how do we go to the source of maybe what's causing us problems, whether it's our mouth or our actions? How do we do that? Well, what I want to do is I want to look for what three different biblical writers said about heart. And the first one we're going to look at is Solomon. Solomon is referred to sometimes as the wisest man who ever lived. And he wrote a lot of really wise sayings down that we can learn a lot from. And all of these three writers that we're going to look at, they said something about the heart, and they even used the term above all. So all three of these people thought that what they had to say about the heart was really important, above all. So we're going to look at these three above all statements. Again, this first one is from Solomon, and he says in the Proverbs, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Solomon thought that it was really important to guard our hearts. It's very similar to Jesus. Jesus said, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. But Solomon's going even further. He said, everything you do, not just what you say, but everything you do, it flows out of the heart. So Solomon's advice to us is to guard it, to be really careful with what our heart is, where our desires are going, what kind of person we are. Next, we're going to turn to a guy with the nickname the Weeping Prophet. The Weeping Prophet sounds kind of pessimistic, doesn't it? But he had some really famous advice, above all advice about the heart too. And so we're going to look at what Jeremiah had to say. The heart is deceitful. Well, that sounds pessimistic, doesn't it? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Do you get why they call him the Weeping Prophet? Right? Sounds kind of negative, doesn't it? That the heart is deceitful above all things. He's not exactly saying the famous advice that's popular, whatever you do, just follow your heart. He's saying, be careful about your heart because it's deceitful. And as we think about this, probably the biggest, the biggest regrets that we have in life, the things that maybe we wish we could take back, the words that we wish we could unsay, probably all of that had to do with what came out of our hearts, what we desired. And then we got what we desired, and we really regretted it because our heart was sick, and it deceived us. It promised that something was going to be really good, but then in the end, it was really disappointing. So I think we should measure what Solomon says, guarding our hearts, Jeremiah, the Weeping Prophet, that the heart is deceitful above all else, and it's sick, and we need to be careful. And then last, we're going to look at a guy who Jesus called the Rock. Now, this guy was Jesus' right-hand disciple. His name was Peter. Well, before Jesus even called him the Rock, his name was Simon. But Simon Peter had this really great assignment. He was this guy who was going to carry out the church for Jesus, and he was always there. And as an older guy, Peter the Rock had a saying about the heart and above all. So let's look at what he wrote. "Love one another deeply from the heart. Above all, love each other deeply." Did you get that? "Because love covers over a multitude of sins." Now, wow, what a great mix between Solomon and Jeremiah we have here. We have Jeremiah saying, guard your heart, guard your heart. And Peter saying, guard it with love. You know, above all, remember, from the heart, love each other deeply. And then Jeremiah's warnings about how the heart is deceitful, how it can mislead us, and the sin, and the way that we cover that is love. Love covers over a multitude of sin. So the heart needs to be guarded because every word that we speak flows out of it. All of our actions, according to Solomon, The hearts can be deceitful, so we need to be careful. And we need to be people who cultivate that love by loving each other deeply from the heart with who we are, all of us. What is the difference between the evil man that Jesus talked about and the good man? The one who brings out of his good heart good and the one who brings out of his evil treasure evil. And how is it that we can cultivate good coming out of it? You see the answer here, and it's love. In the Sermon on the Mount, we're heading to Jesus' famous statement where he says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." There's a lot of things we can worry about. There's a lot of things going on. But Jesus says, desire first my kingdom. Put me first. Desire first my kingdom and my righteousness. Or to use, and we're going to use the words of the weeping prophet Jeremiah here, says it like this: "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." The difference between the evil treasures and the good treasures is seeking God. Not just seeking what we want, but seeking God and seeking what God wants, his righteousness, his kingdom. So let's cultivate a heart that seeks God. Let's be people who love. Just as every week our call is to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. And a disciple is someone who trusts Jesus. And a disciple is someone who obeys, who follows, who does what he asks. So as we do this, there's just a little prayer as we're thinking about praying and working on our hearts and asking God to give us a heart that is good, a kind of heart that honors him. This is a little prayer. It's this: God, I seek you with all my heart. Direct my desires. Maybe this week, pay a little bit of attention to your desires. And maybe at times asking yourself this question: what is it that I want? Or maybe, what is it that I really want? Maybe even a conflict with another person: what is it that I want? What's my desire here? Or a conflict with self: what is it that I want? And so this is a prayer. You might want to write it down. You might want to, if you're in your Bible app right now, you might want to do a screenshot of this picture. You might want to copy and paste this verse, or this picture. But God, I seek you with all my heart. Direct my desires. So if you will, let's say this prayer three times together, if this is the prayer of your heart. Let's do it. God, I seek you with all my heart. Direct my desires. God, I seek you with all my heart. Direct my desires. God, I seek you with all my heart. Direct my desires. Can you imagine if a church full of people were just, their hearts were aligned really well with the heart of God? What kind of hearts would those look like? A heart that wanted what God wanted. A heart that maybe broke where God's heart broke. Can you imagine? What if we desired what God desired? How would our values change? How would we see differently? How would we speak differently? The deceitful desires of the hearts, they leave us disappointed. They confuse us. But what if Jesus is right here? And what if God's desires and wanting what God's want, it doesn't lead to disappointment and regret, but it leads to something that is lasting and satisfying. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you alone are good. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one has turned to our own way. Sometimes we get too caught up in our own small kingdoms. Our desires can be too weak as we settle for less than what you want for us. Help us to repent and turn our hearts to you. Thank you for loving the whole world so much that you gave your only Son, so that whoever believes in him will never perish like the stuff of the earth, but will have eternal life. May we seek you with all our heart so that you can direct our desires toward what can satisfy. In Jesus' name, amen.